And the New Testament reading is taken from Matthew 3, 13 to 17. Then Jesus arrived in Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have the need to be baptized by you, yet you are coming to me. But Jesus answering said to him, allow it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he allowed him, and after he was baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and we saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and settling on him. And behold, the voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. You may be seated. We're so blessed that in a short time I was able to go back to one of my old scriptures that was really in the first year, sermons. It was in the first year, 2008, and it was on the baptism of the Lord. So I had to update it, of course, because that's quite some time ago. I talked before about the full counsel of God. This particular subject, the baptism of the Lord, is in all four Gospels. And the testimony of John the Baptist, which is going to be one of the central figures of this story of the season of Epiphany, which is upon us. And John the Baptist witnesses also, and to understand that this is his testimony, then this is the testimony of John the Baptist. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, and that can only be God. The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. The Christmas story has so many parts that connect to the prophets of the Old Testament. And the theme of the sermon today is no different. The theme is about the baptism of the Lord by John the Baptist. And we should remember that John the Baptist is a very special prophet of the New Testament. So how does John the Baptist come to the Old Testament since he was born in the New Testament? We heard the messianic prophet today, Isaiah, read this morning from chapter 42, and spoke of my chosen one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. That was 750 years before it came to Christ's baptism in the Jordan. The messianic prophecy in the Old Testament is the first one, and Carl mentions this often, is in Genesis. It's called the Proto-Evangelion. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. And to the very end of the Old Testament, it ends with Malachi. That's the last Old Testament prophets. So we're going to see that was the first prophecy. In Genesis, it goes all the way to Malachi, and Isaiah is right in the middle, about 750 years, before Christ was born. There are 30 Old Testament prophecies in between of the coming Messiah, with the last prophet being Malachi. And there are, I haven't counted the ones of Christ's death. That's only of his birth. We see the whole truth and nothing but the truth in order to prepare for Advent and see the whole thread of the Messiah through the Old Testament. We'd have to start in September if we get every prophecy covered every Sunday. And so the connection from prophet Malachi with the first prophet of the New Testament, what is the connection with John the Baptist? These are the last words of the prophecy of Malachi chapter 4, verse 6. Behold, I am going to send to you Elijah the prophet, and he will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. So how does the second coming of Elijah connect with John the Baptist? Remember, Elijah was a prophet of the Old Testament book of 1 Kings. He lived on the earth between being born in 876 B.C. at the time of King Ahab of Israel and King Jehoshaphat of Judah, the two kingdoms made after Solomon's death. Remember, Elijah never died, but was taken to heaven on the chariots of fire. Does everybody remember the movie, The Chariots of Fire? It's rather recent, about a generation ago. So it was possible for Elijah to come to earth again, at least in spirit. And that's exactly how we should understand this scripture. We are obligated to the second coming of Elijah as a spiritual second coming. Why? Because Jesus Christ himself interprets this passage of Malachi in just this way. We find out in Luke 7, verse 20. Jesus, just after John the Baptist was imprisoned by Herod, sends his disciples to Jesus and asks Jesus if he is the one who is to come, or should we expect another? And Jesus answers John's disciples, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." John the Baptist's disciples depart from, but Jesus then turns to the crowd and teaches them about John the Baptist. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 7, Jesus says, "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. And then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, but more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.'" These words are from Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. So Christ is quoting Malachi. Jesus continues his teaching about John the Baptist. "I tell you the truth, among those who are born of women, there is not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet, he who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. For the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcibly advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. For all the prophets and the teachers of law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept this, He is Elijah who has come. He who has ears, let him hear. Praise the Lord. So Jesus is interpreting the Old Testament prophet of Malachi for us. John the Baptist came in the Spirit, according to Jesus. But to fully understand this New Testament prophet, John the Baptist, we must go back to the Christmas story, shouldn't we? Remember, the Virgin Mary's aunt Elizabeth conceives John the Baptist in her womb and is 6 months pregnant with John when Mary is told that she will bear Jesus. John the Baptist leaps for joy in his mother Elizabeth's womb. What about abortion? Does the Spirit of God go into the unborn? It says so right here. When they both were told by the angel Gabriel, Mary will conceive and bear a son, and Mary is to call his name Jesus. That makes Jesus and John what relationship? First cousins, a very special prophet indeed. But John claims that he has not seen Jesus. They must have been separated by birth. So we should pay a special attention to what John the Baptist says about Jesus. And that brings us up to the baptism of our Lord by John the Baptist. And this will be the focus of the sermon today. And that brings us up to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 3, to just before our New Testament reading this morning. When John the Baptist was preaching and baptizing in the desert of Judea, saying, "A voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his path for him." People went out from him to Jerusalem and all of Judea and the whole region around the Jordan River. They confessed their sins in repentance. And then they were baptized by John in the River Jordan. And John's words at this time were, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing forth is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn and burn the shaft with unquenchable fire." And so this is the setting of the baptism of our Lord Jesus by the prophet John the Baptist. And then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to first to prevent him from being baptized. As we hear from the New Testament reading from today from Matthew, John the Baptist says, "I need to be baptized by you. And here you come to me." John is asking Jesus, "Are you coming to me for baptism?" Meaning that John needs to come for his own baptism. And our Lord replies to John the Baptist, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to fulfill all righteousness." We got to remember what Carl has taught us, that this is the God-man. Jesus is both fully human and fully God. He has two natures, and sometimes he speaks from his human nature, and sometimes he speaks from his godly nature. And we need to be able to tell the difference, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. John then consents to Jesus' direction. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he came out of the water, and at the moment heaven opened, And John saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and resting on Jesus. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him we are all pleased. I am pleased." This particular verse is in all three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then in John's testimony in the Gospel of John. All four Gospels speak of this event. What a special event this is, the baptism of Jesus, for it speaks to us from so many special ways, for it identifies God in several different ways. It is theologically very rich in meaning. We hear out of the voice of the Old Testament prophets, we understand who Jesus really is. John, a prophet of God, says, "I am not the Christ, but I am the messenger of Christ." But John recognizes that the Messiah is being much greater than himself. John says, "I am not fit to untie his sandals." John says to Jesus, "I need to baptize you, be baptized by you." But what John is really saying, "I, John the Baptist, am a sinner, and I need to be baptized for repentance myself." And what John the Baptist also is saying, that Jesus does not need to be baptized at all, because Jesus is sinless. He does not need to be repent of anything. John goes on to say that Jesus will baptize also, but Jesus will baptize by the Holy Spirit and by fire. We must be born again. This passage is so theologically rich that we need to look at it in detail. Here are all three of the persons of the triune God that we worship on earth at one time and one place. This passage is a description of the Trinity, because all three of the Trinity are here together. God the Father speaks in an audible voice. God the Father identifies Jesus as his Son, whom he loves and is well pleased. John the Baptist sees the Spirit of God descending like a dove and resting upon him. The Spirit of God is given symbolically as a dove, the bird of peace. What bird did Noah send out from the ark? Who is the ark? A dove, a bird of peace, symbolizing the flood was over. But the Holy Spirit must be more than just a dove. The Spirit of God proceeds from the Father and the Son. But the Son is really the Spirit of God also. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, didn't we hear that? God's Spirit and Jesus' Spirit are one and the same. We know this. Why? In the Nicene Creed, we say, "I believe in the Holy Spirit that proceeds from the Father and the Son, with the Father and the Son are worshipped and glorified." We know this is true by this very passage. It's very, very significant, the baptism. But some mistake the passage in error by thinking that Jesus receives the Spirit of God at his baptism. Jesus clearly did not receive the Spirit of God at this time. This cannot be true because Mary conceived Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. And at Christmas time, in the live nativity here, we heard these words, the words of the Annunciation, when the angel Gabriel tells Mary from the Gospel of Luke, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For this reason, the holy offspring will be called the Son of God." So to take this passage of the baptism of Jesus as a descending dove, giving Jesus the Holy Spirit, is a denial of the incarnation. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit of God, and the Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of God, and that is the very meaning of the incarnation. Let me close in prayer. Holy and eternal God, may we all come to the saving knowledge of who you are and what you have done for us on the cross of Calvary. May we come to know you as the God of the Bible, revealed in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Blessed Trinity. May we always be reminded that from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, God the Father has revealed God the Son, who became a man, died for our sins, in whom we have eternal reconciliation with God, and the hope of eternal inheritance upon his second coming. And through Jesus, we have eternal life, if we believe in him. May we all be reminded that your word is truth, and we should always worship the triune Spirit in truth. Amen.